Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown, where we are officially through the first 9 days. It feels like it's been about 3 weeks of the NBA playoffs. Jeff Johnson may be joining us later, but he has a bit of a busy Monday, as we are wont to do. So I'm joined by my buddy, Sean. Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, John. Happy Monday. You're right. This has been, it's felt way longer than 9 days. But when your favorite team decides to put you through BS for absolutely no reason besides because we want to, it makes it feel longer. But I'm ready to discuss the NBA playoffs over the weekend because we had some very fascinating developments, some sad developments, some interesting developments, and a Knicks Magic Conference Finals is on the horizon, according to one member of the Knicks Film School crew.
I missed that take. What member of our crew called that?
Oh, I can say it because Mensa tweeted it that okay. We might have a Knicks Magic Conference Final.
Listen, if Fanatics set the lines for which member of the Knicks Film School crew called Knicks Magic Conference Finals, I think Mensa would have been -125. And I don't even know who would have been next at like +600.
Add another zero.
Let me start here.
Yes.
Are you enjoying the playoffs?
I am. I'm enjoying it for multiple reasons. One of them financially related. So shout out to those people who follow Cousin Sal, and Cousin Sal every year does this thing where he bets both teams every playoff game -9.5 points.
Oh, wow.
Because obviously the odds are going to be very, very juicy on both sides. So
sure, yeah.
I've been doing that for I started in the play-in, and I've been doing that for the entire playoffs. Now, last year's playoffs did not go so well. It went well the previous two seasons. Last year, there were a lot of 9-point wins, 8-point wins, but double-digit wins happen more often than people realize in the playoffs. And so I've been doing that, and I've been doing very well. For example, like when the Sixers beat one game two, you could have got plus anywhere between +1300 to +1500 if you hit that. But yeah, I've hit a couple, man. I've hit like Denver 9.5 was +370. I've hit San Antonio 9.5 +240. So that's been fun. Gambling aside, I saw someone who's, I'm not going to mention the organization, but some blue check clown who was talking about how this is now the 30th year that the Western Conference has been light years ahead of the East. And I'm just like, I'm not have time for this. Like, yes, on one hand, the fact that the Eastern Conference Finals will contain either the Pistons, Raptors, Cavs, or Magic is hilarious. But on the other hand, if all these series are basically 2-2, 2-1, everything's 2-2 except for Boston is 3-1.
Actually, funny you said that. Only two series are 2-2, even though it feels like a lot of series are more than that. We will see if a third series joins Raptors, Cavs, and Knicks, Hawks at 2-1 tonight because the Pistons and the Magic tip off at 8 p.m.
That's right. That was game three. That was game three.
There you go. But no, Boston is up 3-1, Spurs are up 3-1, Timberwolves are up 3-1, Lakers are up 3-1, and then, of course, the only series that still carries with it the potential of a sweep is the Thunder are up 3-0 on the Suns. That game four is tonight at 9:30 p.m. The East-West thing, look, it's been a theme of this show all year. I think it just depends on how you talk about it. Is the clear favorite in the West? Yes. Is the team that you would say is the second most likely team to win the championship at this point in time in the West? Probably, you know, it's close. Ooh. But the Spurs.
Oh, yes. I forgot.
After what they did to Portland in the second half of that game, I don't think it's like...
But that's the part of the divide. So first thing, one, I was referring to only the East about all the 2-2s. I know the West has just been But the thing is, it's to your point about how you choose to look at things. If when the Western Conference has close matchups, like 2-2 ones and 2-2s, or the, you know, 8-2-1, it shows how deep the Western Conference is. But when it happens to the Eastern Conference, it's because the Eastern Conference is dog shit, right?
And it's a, like, so I actually looked this up. I was thinking of you. I looked this up on the show that I did live, the Knicks Film School Playoff Hangover with Jeremy yesterday. Four of the current top six title favorites play in the East. Because it's the four, obviously, East teams that have home court advantage. And when people say what they're going to say about West versus East, it's like nowhere factored into that conversation is the fact that the most disappointing playoff team thus far through 1 week plus or 9 days, I think is pretty comfortably the Denver Nuggets, who a lot of people had as like the second most likely team to win it all entering this playoff 9 days ago. So like, how does that factor in, to say nothing about like the Houston Rockets? You know, this for a lot of the year, we were talking about the West as like, oh, you know, 1-8, it's going to be a bloodbath. No, the Suns are a pushover and the Blazers have been a feisty, fun story, but they just got railroaded by 30 points in the second half of that game yesterday after they had a 17 or whatever, 18 point lead at home for the second game, by the way. You also mentioned sad playoffs.
Yes.
You want to get that out of the way now?
Let's get that out of the way.
So I don't, we've both been Knicks fans for more than three decades.
Yes.
Is there anyone who, well, actually I shouldn't assume this. For me, there is no one who comes close to a former Knick who I've rooted for as much as Dante DiVincenzo. Is he at the top of your list?
I was thinking, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this last night and I cannot think of another former Knick who played for one season.
That, well, the one season beloved part is like, that puts it really over the edge. I'm talking about any former Knick, like Melo. Like, how much did you root for Melo after he left here?
I didn't really care.
good grad that you are.
I you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take 3 seconds to look at Basketball Reference, the Knicks page of Basketball Reference. Look at all the time top 12 NBA players.
Look at it, because and I'll filibuster while you do, because the thing about, for as much as you could clown the Knicks franchise for much of what has happened over the last, well, prior to this era, it's not like there's been a whole lot of guys that have come here and A, showered themselves in glory while they were here, which is like part of the one half of the equation of like, well, why would you root for someone after they left the franchise? Well, they probably did pretty well when they were here. Mm-hmm. And then the second part of it is like, go to a situation where you're going to want to pull for them after they have left. And it's not been a lot of guys that qualify. Like, maybe if I was like a little older when Anthony Mason left, I would have root for him when he went to Charlotte. You know, I don't know.
I'm looking at Knicks all time. I'm sorted by minutes per game.
Yeah,
and there's actually two players that I remember actively rooting for when they left. One was Patrick Ewing, simply because even though I knew he wasn't going to win a championship, it was like, maybe he'll catch lightning in a bottle somewhere, but I knew it was over. Like, seeing him in that Orlando Magic jersey is that. The other player?
It's Sonics erasure.
Then he ended with the Sonics. Well,
no, you have it mixed up.
Oh, Sonics then Magic.
Sonics first, because don't forget, Glenn Rice came from Seattle.
I'm not the first person to race the Seattle Supersonics. Thank you, David Stern. May you rest in peace. The other player is Devo's teammate.
Oh, Isaiah Hartenstein? Different teammate?
Dante DiVincenzo's teammate in Minnesota.
Oh, Julie. That's.
Yeah, I was like, what?
That says a lot that out of the former teammates of Devo that are playing elsewhere in the league, my mind went to Hartenstein instead of DiVincenzo, or instead of Randall. Sorry,
I don't hate Hartenstein, but I can't root for him to be successful because that means Oklahoma City is successful, and I don't like Oklahoma City. Come home, I heart. No one's paying you $30 million again. Come home. But Julius, simply because Julius, and listen, a lot of he.
You were always a Julius guy.
Yeah, a lot of it he brought. No, I wasn't always a Julius guy. I was
more than others. You were.
Yes, I would say after, honestly, it was during the thumbs down season where I had my face turned for Julius when I saw people tweeting like, "Hey Julius, I know you're not doing so well, but don't worry, the schools are really good at Sacramento." And I was like, "That's just freaking mean." And why are you invoking this? Like, so, but I always felt that the whole playoff history was like him being a bad playoff performer based on 5 healthy playoff games and 11 playoff games where his ankle is so bad he couldn't walk for weeks afterward. But people just, so I won in the smash that narrative. And guess what? He has one game to win 3 and to send these dudes home. And maybe, Julius, you could channel your We Here Knicks one good time between games 5, 6, and 7 and get these Nuggets out the paint.
So let's start with that series because it has been, I don't know that it's been the most compelling series through 4 games, but it's been pretty compelling. Denver, by the way, I see them as 11.5-point favorites at home in game 5. I mean, you would certainly expect them to take care of business at home. Then again, we know in this particular series, home court advantage has not always been what it is built up to be. Mm-hmm. I think probably the most surprising thing about the series so far is you would have thought, and actually I did hear one Zach Lowe say, I forget if he said this about this series in particular or just about like Minnesota's chances of a long playoff run. Like, there is no universe where Minnesota goes on a long run unless Julius Randle is like the borderline all-star version of Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Per cleaning the glass, Julius Randle in this series against the Denver Nuggets is generating 95.8 points per 100 shot attempts. For the playoffs, where everybody shoots a little worse, but just for the playoffs, that is in the seventh percentile league-wide. And yet, the Minnesota Timberwolves are doing better in Julius Randle's minutes in the postseason. Let me just double check this because before I say that, it's close. They're about the same in Julius's minutes as they are not in his minutes. The real reason that they are up in this series is the guy that we just lamented his injury, Dante DiVincenzo, who had one of the best plus minuses in the entire playoffs, but unfortunately, he's gone now. It is really like the Minnesota Timberwolves have survived the minutes of their primary players and of their 5 main guys, Dosunmu, Edwards, Gobert, McDaniels, and Randle. Randle is the best of those 5 just in terms of the on-offs, which again is interesting considering he's not shooting all that well. I just want to know, so like we said, we're going to go one each for each series. We'll have a take. I think my take is that the Nuggets should still be favored in the series, even though they're down 3-1 to win the series. And I don't know how hot that is, considering the injuries, obviously.
Okay. The thing is, one, Jokic has been playing like dog shit.
Well, I was gonna get to them, and it's not just Jokic; Jokic and Murray.
Yeah, but like, Jokic is playing because Rudy Gobert is. Rudy Gobert didn't get injured, and he's been doing an amazing job on Jokic. Ayo Dosunmu isn't injured, and he's been doing an amazing job on Jamal Murray. And hello, 43 points on Saturday night.
How's that trade looking for sure? Shout out to the Chicago Bulls. Big one up. Big up to Arturas Karnisovas. Just really.
No, it's not his fault. Look at the guy.
We know it's not his fault, but still.
Shout out to the Chicago Bulls. I actually do not think the Nuggets should be favored.
Okay.
If Aaron Gordon doesn't play or plays but can't play to his potential because he is hurt. If Aaron Gordon, every team has a, I don't call him a role player, but I don't mean as a diss. Every team has a non-star player that's vital to their success. Aaron Gordon is Denver's. If he's not right or can't play, this is Denver. Like, I don't see Denver winning 3 in a row.
So Aaron Gordon was not right in game 4. It's part of why he hasn't played. He didn't play a lot in that series or in that game. He only just played 89 minutes in the series. the Nuggets are about 12 points per 100 possessions better when he is in there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, only 89 minutes. On the flip side of that coin, you know what this playoffs has not been great for? Former Nets and former Suns who were traded for Kevin Durant. Cam Johnson, now that, look, this, he looks like Michael Jordan with this number compared to Mikal Bridges, but they're 23 points per 100 possessions worse with Cam Johnson on the floor. The Nuggets are. That's in the 10th percentile. That number is about half as much as Mikal Bridges, but it's still pretty rancid. Mm-hmm. You know, none of, like, the Christian Brown numbers are just as bad. The most shocking number, though, probably of the entire postseason is they're getting beaten worse in the Jokic minutes. And specifically, they are a lot worse on offense in the Jokic minutes. Now, look, it's four games, a small sample size, but still, that's like, that's unheard of. And it's mm-hmm. it's a massive credit to Rudy Gobert, as you alluded to before, who is Rudy Gobert the most surprising player of the playoffs so far? He might be.
I'm going to say no, but only because.
Why, because of his teammate? I assume.
No. No, but because Rudy Gobert is a good defensive player. He's a great – no,
he's a Hall of Fame.
He's walking – I was listening to Simmons on Friday, and they're just asking, like, if Rudy Gobert is a Hall of Famer. And okay. Shout out to Rob – I forget Rob's last name. The guy, he was like, no, he's, like, he's won defensive player of the year four times. He's walking into the Hall.
Rob Mahoney.
Yeah, Rob Mahoney. He's like –
Friend of the Knicks Film School podcast, Rob.
Yeah, there you go. He's walking to the Hall of Fame. Rudy Gobert catches a lot of stuff because he's French and because he doesn't score and because he doesn't dribble and this and the third. So people have been looking for reasons to say, like, this dude is overrated. He's not bad. He's, you know. Yeah. Okay, obviously, there is some level of surprise to the effect of how well he's defended against Jokic, because Jokic is – listen, I saw Jokic, like, figure out – took him a half to figure out Wemby, and then it was like, all right, I got you. It shouldn't be surprising that a four-time defensive player of the year who's not washed up is doing a very, very good job.
Well, but the other part of that is, like, in the past when they had Kat for this particular matchup, it wasn't Gobert who defended Jokic. It was Kat. Now, granted, that was so Gobert could be off the ball and wreck damage or wreck havoc off the ball. It's going to be interesting because as well as Minnesota has done to be up 3-1 in that series, Denver, and if you could see this but from listening or reading their own quotes, has really shit the bed. So, like, are they going to show up for – I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Are they going to show up for Game 5 or, you know, are they not? Let's head east. Can we talk about Cavs-Raptors? I did not get a chance to talk to you about Cavs-Raptors after yesterday's – I got to tell you, man, watching that, it made me so happy. One, because I wasn't a fan base of either team. And two, it was just a throwback to when we were, you know, in our late teens and early 20s, and basketball was pure, you know, where if you broke 80, you felt good about yourself.
To all the old heads in our age demographic and older that pine for late 90s, early 2000s basketball, that's what you want back? Because that's what that was last night, yesterday afternoon. I lost some money yesterday on that game. I was watching it at my friend's house, and
what was the spread? Or what did you, I don't know? What
no,
you
no.
Bet
I
on,
saw but... what happened. What I did was after the first quarter, which ended, I believe, 17-14.
The Raptors had like 25. I watched I was like in and out in the first half, and then I watched the whole second half. But the Raptors had like 25 points midway through the second, so that's probably accurate.
0-for-11 from three in the first quarter, the worst shooting from three quarter in playoff history for the franchise. And listen, that franchise has been around 30 years, and they've been in a lot of playoff series. So 95. I live bet the over because I said okay, because the over opened at 216.5, and after the first quarter, it dropped to 191. I was like, all right. They'll get to 100 points.
It's free money.
Nope. not even close.
No team in that game ever took a double-digit lead. There were a total of 115 rebounds in the basketball game compared to 63 made shots. So there were almost twice as many rebounds as made field goals. And it took, by the way, it took a relative offensive explosion in the fourth quarter to even get to what they got to, 93-89 final score. I mean, that game was just like, I don't know, but there was a beauty to it in a way, for me at least, because again, I like watching rock fights. But they also, I thought the teams went about it in different ways, because like the Cavs game plan is like they shoot a lot of threes. And yes. I think that was just a game where they just were not making many of them.
No,
the Raptors, exactly. Like, it's like pulling teeth to get them to shoot threes. And then they were just like, they were a scared turtle and they kind of went back into their show.
Yeah. I mean, again, I have it right here. Scottie Barnes 0 for 1, RJ 0 for 2, Brandon Ingram 0 for 2, Jacoby Walter 0 for 3, Jabal Shedd, Mamu, James the Battle 0 for 1. And to your point after that, you're like, all right, that was cute. Let's get back to doing what we're doing. I'm somewhat shocked that this series is 2-2, but am I surprised? Not really. And it looks like, because the take on James Harden is that it's not that he's bad in the playoffs. He's bad in the last game of the playoffs, but yeah. Down the stretch, there were some, there were some choices. There were some business decisions made, some it was just like, you could see the checking out happening in his head in real time. And I was like, that's no good.
I think my take on this series is actually going to be complimentary to Cleveland. I think the struggles that the Cavs have had at times in the series have been as much as or more about the Raptors' defense and the specific ways that their switchability and their size can frustrate Cleveland than it is about the Cavs shitting the bed, although I do agree they shit the bed yesterday. And listen, the Colin Murray Boyles thing is a thing. Is there, I'm trying to think what, in terms of rookie impact in the playoffs, Dylan Harper's number one, Murray Boyles guy number two, right? I'm trying to think of another rookie.
I can't, everyone I'm thinking about is like a second year player. I can't think of a, like I'm thinking of like young players who've been showing out, like Castle's year two. Like Denny Avdia is like year five. Although he didn't.
Why Denny Avdia?
Like, I'm just thinking of young players like Denny Avdia had his quote unquote breakout season.
He is very much not a rookie. I mean the other kid on the Spurs, Carter Bryant, like he's gotten in and he's made a little impact here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't think there's anyone else that's even in this conversation. So I don't know. I would, if you asked me right now, gun to my head, I think I would still say Cavs. And if the Cavs don't win, if this has to go to a game seven, and you say the same thing for the Knicks, to be clear, yeah. But like if this has to go to a game seven, that's not ideal.
No, it is. This, like, the Cavs should be kicking themselves, because now the team, their next opponent is that series is going to go six. And they could have took a stranglehold in this. They could have took a stranglehold in this series.
What would you do if Orlando won in 5?
Oh god! Can we move to that series now?
Yeah, let's move to it now, and then we'll go back west, and then we'll hit on the next series. So I don't. What do you want to say about it? Because I have thoughts on Detroit, Orlando, but I'll let you go first there,
John. Everything I have said about this Detroit Pistons team is coming to fruition in round one. This is why I was never afraid of the Pistons. This is why when people were crying in spaces about losing to the Pistons, that we can't beat the Pistons, I said, I'm not worried about the Pistons, because in the playoffs, there are things that you can, there are matchups and things you can exploit. And people melted down in spaces and cried about it. And here we are. They are down 2-1 to Orlando Magic team that could not, or some people believe chose not to, beat the Maine Red Claws in game 82.
They did not choose. That was not a choice.
So you're not buying that?
Not buying it. I'm not buying it for 1 second.
I don't buy it either. I don't like. You can't. That's a risky game to play, to lose a throw game on purpose and then go to a playing game and then throw the second playing game and then hope that you beat the 8-9. Hope you win 8-9. I don't believe that.
Look, Cade Cunningham. I was looking at the playoff stats earlier today, and specifically the leading scorers of the playoffs and like who was having an efficient playoffs, who was having a little inefficient playoffs. And the number that jumped out the most to me, Cade Cunningham, 6 turnovers a game, which is same problem last year. And you could argue, and it pains me to say this a little bit as a Knicks fan, but you could argue if Cade Cunningham took care of the ball in the first round last year and had like 3 turnovers a game, as opposed to being as prone to giveaways, especially giveaways in the fourth quarter. You could argue that series, I don't know if the result is different, but at the very least you could argue it goes 7 games and then who the hell knows what happens. Like he wasn't good last year. Now granted, he's coming off of an injury. So like, that should be a part of the conversation, but like, actually, and I should correct myself. Well, correct my fuzz on 2 things. 1, VJ Edgecombe is a rookie. We forgot about him. Shout out to Ben Kim Gervey, who mentioned that in the chat. And then 2, Jokic, probably not the biggest surprise in terms of disappointments in the playoffs. I think it has to be Jalen Duren, doesn't it?
Yeah. See, the thing about the Jalen Duren thing is like, listen, he deserves to be an all-star. I know people had him on All-NBA, like 13 All-NBA, and like, look, you can't. It's hard to argue with the production, what have you. But again, it's not as if Jalen Duren is somebody who you could throw the ball to and he can get you a bucket.
Well, hold on there. Cade Cunningham missed 20 games a season, 19 games, whatever it is, right?
Yes.
I know you watched a lot of those games just as much as I did. I'm not saying it was like he's Hakeem Olajuwon, but
that's
they
what
ran.
I'm saying.
Okay, no. That player doesn't.
We're not Hakeem Olajuwon, but like
the rules of the NBA today don't really exist for that player to exist. Like, he's not that. He was like one step. Like, they were running offense through him, and you could like toss the ball to him and feel like you were going to get a pretty good shot. Like, he could command a double. He could make a tough, mid-range shot. Like, he's a skilled player, and I'm looking at it right now. He's game 1, 3-for-4, 8 points. Game 2, 4-for-10, 11 points. Game 3, 3-for-10, 8 points. Hasn't had double-digit rebounds in the series. 2 games in the series, he's gotten 1 assist. It's not good enough.
There's running offense through somebody, and they're saying, here's the ball, go get me a basket. So, for example, you could run offense through Isaiah Hartenstein, right?
Yes.
But you're not saying, hey, go get me a bucket. You know what I'm saying? So, with Jalen Duren,
guy who averaged 20 points a game this year. It wasn't all on lobs and
I know it's not lobs putbacks and hard rolls and to the basket and everything. Like, I'm not saying he's Marcus Camby, but
it sounds like this is what you're saying.
But what I'm saying is, what have I said all year? Who has been my MVP selection?
Cade Cunningham. You've been very consistent about that. Yes.
Because that guy has to do everything. And when he has to do everything and he can't do everything, nobody's going to jump in and pick up the slack in the way that is necessary for them to win in the playoffs, where now it's been 3 games, especially against a team who's basically a carbon copy of you, but with the second guy that you can give the ball to do something if the first guy isn't doing anything.
I was about
to
say, who's your first and who's your second in that equation?
You can figure. Listen.
And actually, so hold on. And who's your third? Because I think you could have a different. There's an argument for 1 through 3. You could give me a lot of different. There are people that would have one order, and there were people who have the exact order inverted.
Well, I think the third guy is Jalen Suggs.
Okay, then four, because are you forgetting that? Okay, let's play this out.
Who am I forgetting?
There's Franz there's Paolo. There's Desmond Bain, the guy that gave up the Mikal Bridges package for.
Yes, Bain. I forgot about Bain.
No, but they have. But to your point, I love where you're going with this, because to your point, Orlando, like, Jalen Suggs is number four on that list, and yet if it's the end of the clock and you're like, shit, we need something, and Jalen Suggs is good for those buckets. Now you could say the same thing, like, all right, but Detroit has Tobias Harris and Dennis Jenkins.
Exactly. Dennis Jenkins.
Not again, talk about not covering ourselves in glory in the postseason thus far. What do you think is going to happen in the series? What do you think is going to happen tonight? How about that? In Orlando.
I think Detroit wins tonight.
You do? Okay.
Yes. And it's 2-2, goes back to Detroit. I still think Detroit wins this series. However, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if they lost, because what did I say?
Wait, hold on. It's enough chicken shit. Pick the series. Who's winning the series?
I said Detroit.
You think Detroit's going to win the series? Okay. Yes.
All I'll say is this, and I said this on these airways multiple times, all that try hard shit and doing your job shit and maximizing your talent level because that's all you can do to squeeze everything works for 82 games. When you play with intensity and you do everything right and you do your job and do your toll. Yeah. I said it all the time. This reminds me of those 2013 Nuggets with Ty Lawson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And now when the playoffs in any league, in any sport, are the equivalent of you being a right-handed player and they say, we're making you go left. Now what? And some teams, it's really hard for them to go left if they are right-handed. And that's what Detroit said. Now, I didn't think this would happen round one.
I don't think anybody thought it would happen. Well, maybe some people thought it would happen in round one. And look,
Anthony Six, though, says it made a great call. JB Bickerstaff is not a wartime concierge.
That's what Mike Brown is. Look, I'll say this. Sorry. Sorry. Not really that sorry. Orlando did the thing that they needed to do in this to actually give themselves a chance to win the series. And I was just double checking to make sure I wasn't forgetting. Mm-hmm. They won a game where they shot under 30% from three. And that was game one. Mm-hmm. Then to win game three, which you could argue they should have won more handily than they did, they actually did shoot the ball. They shot 45%. I don't know how many from three. I don't know how many more games the Magic could count on shooting 45% or above 40% from three in the series, especially because the Detroit defense is good. I will say, as Jeff just popped in, we'll bring him up in after I make this point. I'm going to, partially against my better judgment, I'm going to say the same thing as you. I think Detroit wins the series. But I'm also going to say the same thing as you, that it would not shock me if they lost. Surprise me a little bit, but not sure. Yeah.
There's a path. Like, we have seen the path. We've known the path all year. And now the path is being played out.
Welcome to the show, Jeff Johnson. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
What's going on, y'all? How you feeling?
We're feeling spry. We've just talked two rock fights, Magic, Pistons, Cavs, Raptors. Before we move on to the Knicks, anything you want to say about either of those two series?
Yeah, I caught the tail end of what you were saying with Magic Pistons. I'm going to go super cliche here. Game four will tell us a lot about the Detroit Pistons and what they have to do. But seriously, the fact that they are facing a mirror image version of themselves with better shot creators, or I'll say more shot creators, because I'm not going to violate Cade like that, but more shot creators than they do. Like, you know, Bane can get you a bucket. Franz can get you a bucket.
We just
Paolo
said this.
Can get you a bucket.
Yep.
So, in my time, I wasn't listening before, and so this isn't no collusion.
No, it's that. But that it's secret minds.
That's where I worry about the Pistons, because you're not going to punk the Magic.
No.
You walk away from Magic games black and blue. Like their colors. So if you're trying to out-tough them, At worst, it's a stalemate. And now you're telling me, hey, they held a lead on you. You came all the way back and they were able to take it back from you. They were able to blow you out on your home court. They've won against you in a variety of ways. So I also don't see what the major adjustment is other than Jalen Duren. Game four is tonight. Game four is tonight, brother.
The series has started.
The series has officially started. So if you're gonna show up, you gotta show up, you know, because you're losing the Reese Darby right now. You're getting smoked in the Reese Darby. So I mean, what's going on? All jokes aside, of course, they don't hit threes. Against any other team. There's only one team they hit threes against. Dennis Jenkins, milk carton alert.
Hey, watch
that's,
how you,
that's
watch.
A big thing. That's a big thing with them because
watch
he was
how
a
you talk
player.
About the greatest two-way player in the history of the
league. Immortal Dennis Jenkins. But like, he only had like less than 7 minutes in that game. In game three, didn't really play like that.
This is JB Bickerstaff. Sean just said this.
Bickerstaffing. He's Bickerstaffing right now.
He's Bickerstaffing around, and it's like you know searching a little bit. Coaching, I think a better playoffs, which I think says more about Bickerstaff than the guy I'm about to mention. Mike Brown, his team is tied 2-2.
Wait, hold on. Can I get something off real quick about Cavs Raptors?
Please.
Raptors take put the Cavs? Oh my God. What? Yo, they set basketball back about, what is it, 20 years?
Yes. Twice. I said it. I was like, all the old heads that won 90s basketball back, you want that shit?
Listen, I was like, bro, it was like, you know what it was like? I thought they were playing like pickup, like rec ball hoops. Like these were not the Cavs and the Raptors that we've seen before. It's just doppelgangers wearing Cavs and Raptors jersey trying to hoop out there. And you're like, damn, halftime, nobody cracked 40? But I think even more important is, I don't know what's going to happen with that series because I saw a stat saying that Harden has played 44 playoff games with more turnovers than field goals made.
That can't be a real stat.
I'm looking this up right now.
He had more turnovers, 7, than field goals made, 6, in game 3.
Actually, you know what? With all the free throw merchant thing he does, that might be real.
So I don't know. Can y'all give me like the quick cliff notes of what y'all think about the series? Because I thought
we basically just said what you said. Where my mind just went as you were talking about it, and I can't believe I didn't think about this before. Shame on me. Who is arguably the greatest Raptor of all time?
Don't think it's arguable.
Is it Kyle Lowry?
Oh, okay. I was going a different direction. I was going his teammate, DeMar DeRozan. It is Lowry. You're right. It's Lowry. Who's the second greatest Raptor of all time? Arguably, DeRozan. It's
DeRozan, yeah.
You know who would have fit right into that game? With all the mid-rangers Toronto was taking?
And if DeRozan was there, that might have been a blowout.
They would have won by 15.
Like, calmly, too. So, and this was from Nick Wright. James Harden now has 44 career playoff games with as many or more turnovers than made field goals. The last two games, he had more turnovers than field goals, but the 44 number includes games his turnovers equaled his made field goals.
Okay.
So, Cavs, social, like the Cavs fans online, they're getting into their, it's blame Harden. The blame Harden train has already pulled out of the station and they are headed, I don't know where, to hell.
Who could have saw this coming?
No, but if you're a Cavs fan, if you're someone who works for the organization right now, like look at their half of the bracket. Like if you don't make the Eastern Conference Finals, like what are, as I've said about the next several times, look, what are we doing here?
They're on the clock just like a lot of these other teams. And I've been saying that all year. And two, I love him as a player. Donovan Mitchell got some dope plot armor, bro. He's got some dope plot armor because
You never hear the too small to win a title about Donovan Mitchell. No. Never hear that.
The plot armor is going crazy right now.
You know what it is, Jeff? You know what it is, Jeff? Most people don't realize he's 6'1".
He's taller than he, like, he's one of those, like, tall guys.
Long arms, and he jumps, and he finishes above the rim. So when you jump over people, people don't realize your height. Like, listen, I thought he was legit 6'4", until 2022, when the whole, when the Knicks were supposed to trade for him, whatever, and I found out he's 6'1". I was like, wait, he's 6'1"?
Y'all are, like, the same height, like, but it's weird. It's, like, it's like Steph Curry. When you meet Steph Curry in person, it's like, you're Steph tall, but you're not like he's because they're all lanky. That's why it just looks like it's crazy. But yeah,
who is of the following three players, who's the most likely to be wearing a Miami Heat uniform next year? Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant, or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Oh, come on, it's yeah.
Who?
Yes.
We also spent a little time on Nuggets Wolves. We're definitely not getting to all eight series right now because I gotta go talk to Steph Bondi in a few minutes. And quick thought on Wolves Nuggets if you have one, Jeff.
Nikola Jokic legacy series. I don't make the rules.
Yes,
I don't make the rules. Yo, I got a call from a Minnesota area code. I don't even know what Minnesota's area code is. Shout out to y'all, Minnesota. I don't know y'all code. They might be calling me to run 5 minutes. They might need me and Slow-Mo to run 5 minutes in their backcourt. No Ant, no Dante. No. Ayo Dosunmu, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, Jaden McDaniels. Like, they lost. Julius Randle, right? They lost their two of their key cogs and their best scorers. If they lose game five.
I mean, well, that would be,
but they have to win three straight. They got to get out this series. There's no way. I don't care if Aaron Gordon's hamstring is Mugu Gaipan. They got to get out. They got to get, like, how do you justify losing to the Timberwolves without Dante and without Edwards? And I can tell you, it is on the table. It's super viable because they have guys like Julius Randle who have been a number one on a team that on a depleted team before. So he knows how to step into that role. Like, this isn't, they're not going to be shell shocked, guys. They still got a lot of their core. So,
you know why I think this is a really smart, like, it's a hot take, but it's a good take. Is we're talking about a player who, based on the regular season accomplishments and based on the regular season stats, and just also based on, like, watching the game, because he is unlike anybody else to watch in terms of what he could do and the impact that he could have. He has been elevated by many people into the pantheon level, the top 10 to 12 players of all time. It's not just that it's only one championship, it's one finals. And then other than the year that they went to the one finals and won it, which obviously deserves all the credit in the world for, only one other conference finals. And again, to their credit, they had to come back from 3-1 twice in that playoff series to make that conference finals in the bubble against the Lakers. But, like, you can't – I'm sorry. You know, if we're holding, like, Will Chamberlain's playoff stuff against him over the course of his career and, like – what Oscar Robertson didn't do when he was in Cincinnati and, like, so on and so forth. Like, there's other players, you know, like, you can't then tell me Jokic again, what's plot armor?
I mean, y'all know that man might as well be invincible. With the level of plot armor that he's had. And I love Jokic as a player, but yeah, you take into account the fact that the whole, narrative around him that he likes racing horses more than he does hooping. And then the fact that he's automatically penciled in top two MVP every year. People didn't like the idea of him winning three straight MVPs or four MVPs because of his resume. And now you're telling me, yo, you have the bracket to get to the conference finals again. And you were just gifted two unfortunate injuries where you guys were out of there. You guys were out of there. In five, if this didn't happen, you got gifted a path forward. I'm watching LeBron and the Gap Band go damn near sweep the Rockets right? Like I'm watching LeBron, 41-year-old LeBron, take Marcus Smart, Jake LaRavia, Rui Hachimura, Luke Kennard, and his son. He created another player that years later would be here to help him. About to sweep the Rockets. What are we talking about?
They're getting them out the paint also.
All right. We have to get to this before we get out of here. Both of you more likely to come back from 3-1 down, because it is 3-1 Lakers over Houston, even though it was 3-0. More likely to come back and win the series, Rockets or Nuggets?
Nuggets.
Nuggets, 100%.
You want to talk about mentally cooked? Houston's mentally cooked. And 2 days off for LeBron on Wednesday. 2 days off, 2 days of rest. Shuts the door game five. That's it.
I said before you came on, Jeff, that like I think the Nuggets should still be favored to win the series.
Oh yeah,
I
disagree.
I'm struggling. Sean disagreed. I'm struggling with this one. I know it's never happened before, obviously in the NBA, but like, I don't know. I guess it depends on whether Kevin Durant plays or not. All right, Knicks Hawks. Here's the question, because we talked about them after Game 3 together, so it's been too long, but. Should the Knicks feel better about their chances to make the finals right now than they did before the playoffs started, or worse?
I think it's the same.
Or the same, I guess, would be option C.
Nothing I have seen has changed my thought process, because I've been on record that Boston is worse this year than last year. So why should I be afraid of them? And then,
you don't fear Peyton Pritchard?
No. I can't wait for Alvarado to just like put him in his back pocket. I assumed the Pistons were going to be there in the conference finals, and or the Cavs, and I'm not afraid of those two teams. So I feel the same.
Jeff?
Yeah, 100%. I feel the same. I think if I'm them, I also feel angry, because they should be in a position to end the series tomorrow. Either end it, or the series should have been over already. And I remember we had this conversation like a few weeks ago, John, about possibly not extending the series even further because of what the Celtics do, because for some reason they brought, and I get it, but who could have saw it coming with the Celtics and the Sixers? The Sixers, who were playing fast and really had to play the variance, three-point variance theater.
Can we shout out Sean? Sean has been all over this the whole freaking year. If you are playing the Sixers and Joel Embiid is on the floor,
run them.
Run
them every time. So that's where I think the not so much, because I more so said if this was going to go game six, it would be a repeat of the Philly series where they had a chance to close it in five and they do something stupid and then have to go back down to Atlanta. But the stupidity happened in the middle. So now that they've sifted it out, I'm pleased and not satisfied with game four. I need them to bring the belt out in game five, and then the belt out in game six. Like that's what they need to do to establish that we are not the same. And I want to shout out to my guy that runs the Shot Clock, who put out a video saying that every Knicks fan has been vindicated. Whoever thought that they could coach the team, where he posted like a bunch of tweets about just get Cat the effing ball and move out the way. And it's like, well, lo and behold, look at what happened when you made the one adjustment to give the biggest advantage creator on the floor, literally and figuratively, the Rock, and just run offense. What happens? So, yeah.
I am with you guys. I feel the same. And that is despite the fact that I think Brunson has obviously underwhelmed not only me, but most people, some more than others. Mikal, needless to say, has underwhelmed. And Mike Brown has underwhelmed, although some redemption in game four. I think he coached a good game in game four. And yet I feel the same, if not better, because of Cat, number one, to everything you just said, Jeff. I think the defense has, I know there's been some criticism of like, they can't stop CJ McCollum. Like, what are they going to do against better players? I actually think the defense has held up well. I've been impressed with the Knicks defense. I think it's been good. I think it's been good. It has looked good enough through four games where I could look at them and be like, all right, that's a defense that could win a championship provided they could get out of their own way on the other end. And then the other half of the bracket, like Boston's still Boston. My opinion of Boston hasn't changed, but just yeah, man. If this is the best that we got from Cleveland and Detroit and those folks over there,
New York's the best team in the East. Wendy said it. He said an Eastern Conference executive told him that in like February or March. New York is the best team. New York is the best team.
Which is why if they don't make it to the finals, you know who will have beaten them? Not the Celtics, not the Cavs, not the Pistons, the Knicks.
That's why they just got to get I'm screaming. Like if it's one thing I would scream at all of them, get out of this first round. Get out in six.
Yeah.
Don't play around anymore. I've already seen the formula. Like, we get to this points in series where when one team has the clear advantage and they spam the advantage and there's no other adjustments that you can make, now it's on you. It's literally on you. Are you gonna implode? Are you just gonna have like a cold night? Or is anything else that you execute? Do you have to go to like secondary, tertiary plans? Yep. It is clear what the plan is for the Knicks, right? Hold like a 7-15 point lead. Just get that, lock it in. Play Dyson Daniels off the floor. Now we're going shot for shot. Now we're going to get to the point where we see Corey Kispert minutes and Tony Bradley minutes because I can't run these guys 40, 50 minutes, right? And now Hart is on CJ. And then I think about it too. If you guys bring out that same level of physicality and playoff aggression, do the Hawks have it in them to match that? I don't know.
Man, you have proof of concept. Just do what you did the last time.
That's what I'm saying. That's all they got to do.
And if you choose not to, you guys are all assholes. And I'll say that, and I'll say it like you're assholes if you decide, if I see Jalen Brunson pounding the shit out of the ball tomorrow night, you're assholes.
Man.
All right, last question, then we got to get out of here. Of all, and this is still possible, technically, even for OKC Suns, the one series, sorry, Phoenix, we haven't talked about. If you had to pick one series that was going to go seven games, which series is it? And I will answer this myself as soon as I get an answer in my head. I think I have my answer. Yeah, you can only pick one. You can't pick multiple ones.
It's a good series to go seven.
Most likely series to go seven.
I would say
I'm gonna take the lowest hanging fruit. I'll say Denver, Minnesota.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't want to take the lowest hanging fruit. You know, I'll say Pistons Magic.
That's the other one. Jeff, you're the tiebreaker.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Cavs Raptors.
I mean, that was that. That's the sneaky underdog for this question.
Toronto at home was different. Like those guys was charged up. Now, if it becomes another rock, like I do not expect the Cavs offense to put up a stinker like that again. But at this point, after four games, I throw up my hands with that series. There's nothing that I've seen that is clear on either side to say, hey, if this team executes this game plan, they got it. I think I can see that in every other series but this one.
Just the fact that the Raptors won that game shooting like they did.
32%.
I know, we said it before, but it's just like... I'm sorry. I can't. It was unbelievable. Anyway, okay. We got to get out of here because I got to go talk to Steph Bondi, which will not be airing live. I should say that'll be up on the Knicks Film School feed later in the day. Sean, last word from you.
Knicks, you have proof of concept. Don't be assholes. Simple as that.
Don't be assholes. We should have put that on a shirt for the playoffs. Jeff, last word.
Retweet, repost, like what Shaw said. And enjoy the first round of the playoffs. This has been like excellent, unpredictable hoops to start round one. Yep. So I just say like enjoy it and enjoy it. And it's way better when you don't have a rooting stake. to enjoy some of these games.
I'm very looking forward to tonight, and just another one more night off before I wake up tomorrow with all the anxiety in the world, like I have been for all of these games. And then just, I know we've all said it many times, but prayers up for Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh yeah.
Sucks.
Brutal, but hey man, I can't believe I'm saying this and I hate myself for saying it. Use Jason Tatum as inspiration. Like, doesn't mean you have to miss the whole next season.
He got the surgery already, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
same doctor, everything.
Yeah, we know no one will attack rehab with as much ferocity as that dude. So, yeah, get better soon. All right, thanks everybody for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. As Jeff said, like, subscribe, all the things. Definitely, if you're checking us out on Twitter, please head over to the NBA Takedown YouTube page and subscribe so more people can kind of take notice of the show. And that is it. Come check us out on Knicks Film School, where you will see all of us over the course of the next week. But until next time, we will be back. And everybody have a great week. Take care. Peace out.